Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Campionato di calcio italiano.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the final of 2023 Total Italian Football Podcast. We've got a full house. We're here to talk about match day 18, having had match day 17 off. And I'm starting to think that we should have done that the other way around because match day 18 was not all that exciting. I'm here, Connor Clancy. I've got Ewan Burns with me. Good morning, Burnsy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. My voice is still waking up, but your voice is still asleep.
It is, yes. You have to bear with me. About 20 minutes in, I reckon I'll wake up.
Right, we'll get there. We'll get there. Do you have your coffee to hand?
I do have my coffee to hand.
Excellent.
In a nice mug as well.
That is a very nice
themed
mug.
It's
Ciao from the 1990 World Cup.
It is.
Which is great. Brilliant. We've got Vito who's giving it the seal of approval. It's an odd time for you to record, Vito. It's like mid-afternoon for you, which never happens. But hello, welcome. How are you?
Hello, Connor. I'm good, actually. And yeah, believe it or not, as we're recording, it's actually 7 in the evening now. So a very ideal time for me. So needless to say, I'm a bit more energetic than what I usually be on other episodes.
I'm not intending to insult you, but I can see that you've got more energy today than usual, Vito.
Yes, very convenient that I've been awake for more than a few hours.
Yeah, absolutely. You've had your full dose of caffeine for the day, I'm sure. And we've also got Kev Pogzielski here with us, who's dressed in a lovely dressing gown, which is more clothing than I expected him to have, and I'm pleased that he has that clothes on. Hi, Kev.
Hello. I'm just pleased Vito's bringing some energy, because I endure more than enjoy this time of year. And
I thought you were about to say this podcast.
I've had a virus for a couple of weeks as well, so
I have you?
Sound a bit. Yeah, I've been in and out of bed. It's been crazy. It's like just keeps coming and going, like being horrible. It's gone around the entire office, and I've got it luckily just as I'm about to go on holiday. It's gone, I think. So,
excellent, yeah. News. Oh, yeah, I forgot that you're not usually around at this time of year.
No.
Where usually, are you going again? I can't remember.
We're going to the Dominican this year, which isn't our usual backpacking trip. We usually try and get away from Christmas as much as for Christmas, but yes, I'll be going away shortly.
I thought you went there last year.
We backpacked Mauritius for 4 weeks last
Mauritius,
year.
That was it.
A lovely time all around. I will just apologize at the very, very top of the podcast to anybody listening, because the audio quality is not going to be quite as good as it usually is. And that is my fault, but I'm sorry. What more can I say? Anyway, quick bit of housekeeping. If you are listening to this in any place other than the Spotify feed, Total Italian Football, be sure to go and start listening to this under the Spotify feed, Total Italian Football, because it's the only place where we can guarantee that this podcast will be published after every single Serie A match day, other than the Patreon feed, of course. We've had a few questions about where the pod is, and that is because people are not listening under the name Total Italian Football. You need to do that to guarantee you will hear every single episode. So let's get on with the weekend's action. It wasn't the best, I think it's fair to say. We had 10 games, of course, and in those 10 games, we had 10 clean sheets kept. And let's be honest, as much as we can appreciate good defending, nobody wants 10 clean sheets in a match day of 10 matches. Two of those games were 0-0, but let's go through all the results. Napoli Monza was 0-0 in Naples. Fiorentina beat Torino 1-0. Genoa Inter was a thriller. Both teams scored. It finished 1-1. Lazio Frosinone was 3-1. Atalanta won Lecce 0. Udinese 3. Bologna 0. A result that nobody wanted, but we'll get into that. Cagliari 0-0 with Empoli. Verona 0. Salernitana 1. Milan 1. Sassuolo 0. And Juventus 1. Roma 0. That very much feels like I'm reading a Serie A scoreline or set of results from the 1990s, but it's not. We're here. We're going to have to start with Juventus-Roma, and Bernsey, this was a big, big win for Juve, considering what happened with Inter the night before.
Yeah, it was big, and probably, I suspect a lot of people, had they had to do predictions for this game, would have got a prediction spot on, because it's Juve. And I was writing this last night. I believe that's the sixth 1-0 of the season for them in the league. And I think it was the ninth game they've won by a single goal. It's not news that that's what they do, but they've done it again. And what's funny is they've done it to a Roma team that have kind of got that in them as well. Juve just better at it. And to me, the first half, actually, even though nobody scored, I don't think either team could be accused of sitting back or like just trying to stink the place out for that first half. I think there was genuine attacking play, more so from Juve. They created slightly more clear chances, but it felt like it could, like one goal could potentially kick off quite a good game, quite a mad one. A couple of years ago, they had, it was like a 4-3 in this fixture, wasn't there? It can happen. Under the same coaches, but Juve got the goal, and then you know what that means. Roma kind of, that the goal seemed to knock the stuff out. There wasn't really a reaction to that goal, and what was disappointing was that we always talk about Roma being overly reliant on Dybala. This was a situation where he was playing, he was back from injury in time for the game he'd want to be back for, and he didn't really have an impact. It was quite a rare thing, because he's not always there and available, but when he is, he tends to have an impact, and nothing would quite stick for him in that game. It was quite frustrating for certain people.
Yeah, he was quiet. Quite frustrating for you is what you mean by that, but he did almost nearly produce a moment of absolute magic with that ball that fell his way in the box, and it was a bit crowded, and he just did a little outside of the foot improvised effort that went just wide. And I was watching the game with my dad, and he said he's the only player on the pitch that could even think to do that kind of shot in that position. But Juventus got the win, Vito, and it puts them now 2 points behind Inter, who are top of the table, because Inter dropped points away at Genoa, obviously, the night before. We have a title race. We have like a proper old-fashioned two-horse title race, and the two horses are Juventus and Inter. There's something quite nostalgically pleasing about that.
Well, they are the... Well, although there are three big teams in Italy, those two in particular seem to be the original rivals, if you like. After all, the Derby d'Italia is named after those two, because, you know, for many decades they were seen as the big boys, until Milan, you know, in the second half of the last century, and more so when Berlusconi came in the 80s, really made Milan a much more powerful side. But these two, you know, they've historically been at it for many years, been involved in many other title challenges. And, yeah, you talk about nostalgia, it does give that vibe, because there have been so many great battles over the years and so many great champions that have played for these teams. So I think this time, we're going to see another battle between those two. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it all pans out, especially once the new year starts, and also how Inter can handle things, you know, considering that they've got Champions League fixtures coming up.
That is an extra little point of interest to throw in there, and you're right to mention it. Juventus don't have Europe to focus on, and if Inter are to go far this year, that will surely become an extra distraction for them. So I'm having a lovely time with the title race this season, even if it's Juventus, and a lot of people are very critical of them. There is something to admire about the fact that Allegri just keeps getting those 1-0 wins for them. And someone in particular that deserves credit, Kev, I'd say, is Adrian Rabiot. He got the winner here. I think there's a stat about him being the highest scoring midfielder in Serie A over the last two seasons or something like that. And he's just become a new player for Juve over the last 2 years.
Yeah, last year, I think a few people put it down to his contract coming to an end. And he was sort of, you know, showing potential suitors what he could do. He had a sort of a career best 11 goals in all competitions and sort of 8 goals in Serie A, which when you're a box-to-box to midfielder, you know, I think he'd only got 4 in a season before that. I think that was at PSG, feels like wasn't the greatest sort of goal scoring output from someone who does sort of cover a lot of ground and seems to be on the ball a lot for Juve. It was one of those stats that you know, the Juventus socials decided to put out, that he's only scored 3 times this season. which feels like last year he's doing a lot of legwork to make him the highest scoring midfielder. And then you've also got those players that kind of play between the line of midfield and strikers, if we like. So those attackers that some people would probably want to qualify as midfielder. But it's still, when you look at how young some of the players in the Juventus team are, and you know what they've lost in experience. You know, Chiellini's only retired a couple of weeks ago. I know he went off to LA FC, actually, wasn't it? Or Galaxy, wherever he went. He went to America.
LAFC.
You know, everything they've lost there. You know, he's only 28 years old, but he really is sort of one of the elder statesmen in that team now. And I think it's their challenge this year is as sort of hinged on the fact that he stayed around and that they've got that sort of that longevity. He's been there since 2019, and he could be one of the sort of vital cogs in any potential title challenge that they have this year, or they're having a title challenge, but any title they lift this season.
Well, it is often said that defense wins titles, right? And you look at Juventus's back line, and you've got Federico Gatti, but the two stars of it for me, and I feel bad saying this because Mr. Katz has been scoring some goals, but it's the Brazilians, Gleison Bremer and Danilo Ewan, who have just been so, so good at the back. And I'm inclined to say particularly Danilo. I think a lot of other people are inclined to say particularly Bremer. But just as a unit, those three have been brilliant for Juve this season.
Yeah, and I think they've, particularly the two Brazilians, have both kind of overcome a bit of more adversity as such. But I think there was a feeling when Danilo left Man City that, you know, City don't tend to get rid of players and they go on to be particularly good elsewhere. You know, they are good at that. And it was kind of thought, all right, he's not old, but he's probably declining. And he might decline fairly quickly at Juve, but that it's, if anything, he looks better than he ever did at City. And then Bremer obviously was, there was a lot of pressure on him because he was part of this massive transfer rat race, mainly with Inter, where I was working on Inter website at the time, and it was done. Like, Inter really dropped the ball on that deal. It was a done thing, and Juve managed to get him. And then during his first season, there were periods of time where he wasn't that great. He was fine, but he didn't really look like the player that everyone thought he was, and what he seemed to be at Torino. But yeah, and then he starts getting linked away a little bit, and you know, you can believe as much of it as you like, but links were happening. But then he's been better this season. He's looked like one of the strongest defenders in the league. You know, it's probably top 3-4 strongest defenders in the league, and you could arguably say that 3 of that 4 are probably at Juve.
Yeah.
and 2 of them have been in this discussion. So I think both of them have done very well to become as strong as they are at the back for Juve, and obviously Gatti very much helps as well.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but wasn't because I never rated Danilo before he came to Juve, and I didn't think he was going to do anything in particular there, but wasn't he a fullback?
Yeah, when he was younger, he was a right back.
Yeah, and then he's just come in and he looks like the most experienced and assured centre defender in Europe at times there.
But it also means you can stick him out wide if needed, which hasn't really been needed off the top of my head for Juve, but it's always there.
It is always there, and it's a lovely option. Kev, you want to say something?
No, Danilo just feels like he came through at the time when Brazil were looking for replacements for sort of the Maicon to Dani Alves, and just everybody got labelled as sort of a rampage and right back, and maybe he was still sort of finding his feet. But I know it's where he played Porto, wasn't it? I think he sort of made his breakthrough in Europe, but yeah, he's much better in the centre.
He is much better in the centre, but the reason that that gap at the top is now 2 points, Vito, I'm coming to you for this one, you best believe, is because Genoa managed to get a point against a team that looked unstoppable in Inter. Marko Arnautovic had given the Nerazzurri the lead, but Radu Dragusin, who is in fine form for the Grifoni, levelled up just before half-time, and that was where the scoring stopped. But Genoa, we have to say it, Genoa are a team that no team wants to play this season, Vito.
Especially the big boys. In the recent games, Genoa have shown that they've actually been a competitive side against the likes of Juve and Inter and a few other teams where they've actually done well. I think they smashed Roma early in the season as well. So Alberto Gilardino, who I wrote about in my three takeaways for total-italianfootball.com, I think after what has been a pretty rough start to his coaching career in the lower divisions and then the Genoa Primavera, he seems to be finding his feet as a senior coach. And despite the stats suggesting that Inter had more shots and more possession, I felt that with what the Grifone had on the ball, I think they were more accurate with their passing. They found each other better and they were pressing high as well. I think what they're missing, though, is a fit striker, because Retegi's battle with injuries, and Ekuban, I don't think, is the perfect support cast for Goodmanson. I think Goodmanson and Retegi, at their best, they'll make Genoa climb up the table more. And the one downside was that Malinovsky came off the bench, and I think he's a guy that should start, because if the likes of Retegi and Goodmanson aren't scoring the goals, you need him to produce one of his long-range beauties to break the deadlock.
I think we need to talk about Dragusin a bit, Ewan, don't we? Because he's been excellent there all season. I want to say he's kind of slipped under the radar. He's 21. He's probably been in the top five defenders in Italy. If we're going to talk about that number that you mentioned, he's probably in that group this season.
Yeah, he just looks like a very solid and assured player for 21 years old. He scored twice in Serie A this season as well, which, as a centre back in a lower to mid table side, isn't bad going. If you sort of maintain that rate, you should end up with four. He was Juve's player, and he went on loan to Genoa, and then he's ended up moving for, I think it was 5.5 million euro apparently, and they can definitely get a lot more than that for him, literally tomorrow. Actually, I think Italy's window might open on the 2nd, but yeah.
Oh, does it really?
Next week. some of them open on the 2nd, but I can't remember if Italy's one of them or not, but yeah, I'll rephrase it. Next week, can get a lot more than 5.5 million for him. Tottenham are linked, others will be. I think Inter have been as well. I wouldn't be surprised if... I suppose Juve probably wouldn't if they've got a settled defence. I don't see why he'd go back there.
Ewan, if you are Mr. Radu, what do you do? Do you stay and see out the season at Genoa?
Yes, I think you do. I think there are a few examples that spring to mind of players who, have not had a sustained period of being really good at top flight level, moved in January straight away, and it's gone well.
And a lot of them...
You just from Genoa.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, yeah.
I would stay put, but I would expect to, assuming he carries on the way he has been, he would be off in the summer, you'd think.
Kev, I'm coming to you for a complaint. Genoa wore that gold kit at home again, and they keep doing this, and I'm not happy about it. One, because I am opposed to gold kits as a whole, and two, because, well, they shouldn't be wearing it at home.
Yeah, I noticed this. And the one thing that confused me, because 10 years ago, you know, cast your mind back.
Here we go, lads. Kids.
they wore a kit to commemorate 100 years, and it was a lovely kit. It was sort of it looked like a really old fashioned material, like 100 years ago. You could only get, I actually looked into purchasing this. Sorry, Peter. But it was white with the red and blue sort of stripe across it. And it came in like a tube, you know, it was really dressed up, and they only made, I don't know, let's say 1,000 of them or whatever. I can't then work out why, excuse me. If that's to commemorate 100 years, and that was it, they wore white 100 years ago, not the red and blue that we familiarize ourselves with now, but why gold for 110 years?
Right. Is it the griffin? Is that it? Because the griffin is gold in the middle of their crest, isn't it?
If you're commemorating, sorry, I'm breaking up, but commemorating a centenary or whatever it is, surely you wear the kit that you were wearing back then. That's the whole point of commemorating that centenary. But,
wait, is this gold kit supposed to be a commemorative kit?
Well, I can only assume it's 110 years. It's got 130 under the because they've gone back to like, okay, the classic Grafone badge. Then now I'm confused about the 130. I admit to me, I've only just seen this in highlights in the last like 2 weeks. But I'm just completely confused. You know, it's not even the gold that's annoying me at this point. It's just that it seems to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna bring out a commemorative kit, and we're just gonna go, yeah, fuck it, we'll have that colour.
The kit you just described sounds like a SAMP kit. I don't know if in the modern day they want to avoid some sort of online shitstorm by basically wearing a SAMP kit.
I had a look at the shirt because I covered the game, and yeah, the thing was gold kit for 130 years because they were formed in 1893, so 130. But the thing was, their anniversary is the 7th of September. So why are you waiting for the end of the year to wear it? That's the odd thing. But they're stupid on that side of Genoa, so it shouldn't be a surprise.
Kev's just sent a link because I was very much doubting your maths, Kev. But there is an article from February 2013 where they are saying that it was a 100-year special kit.
Yeah, I know. It was confusing me because I'm like, these numbers don't, just don't stack up, and now, yeah, my brain's fried at the moment as it is. But bizarre. I don't want to slam them like Vito did, but certainly bizarre goings on that side of Genoa.
The special kit is nice from back then. They were limited to 500,
and it was ridiculously expensive. It was like 250 even back like 10 years ago, and I could not part with that much cash.
No, that's crazy. They did a special goalkeeper one, which was all red.
Was that pre-classic football shirts? Because if so, it's now about $3,000, I imagine.
No, I think that's when classic football shirts was actually good, and you could buy classic football shirts for cheap. And then I don't know when in the last 5 years it just went mad and has become impossible to afford.
I shouldn't really say that, as my friend does work there. But also, well,
he's not my friend.
Fair point.
I used to use that all the time, and now I hate it as a website. But anyway, here we go. Here we go. What is next? Should we talk about the fact that Milan beat Sassuolo 1-0 and Stefano Pioli apparently saved his job with that win, Ewan?
Yeah, well done to him. What a scintillating win.
AC Milan had two shots on target. They beat Sassuolo 1-0.
Yeah, predictable story, really, isn't it? I suppose the good thing. The good thing is the 3 points, because they really needed them. Clean sheet as well is very welcome. But I think that's Pulisic's sixth league goal of the season, which is not a bad return for a winger who's just moved country. He looks like a very decent pickup. Supposedly there was a bit of whistling when did Leao go off? I think it was when he went off, or when he did something bad, because he had a bit of a rotter. And to be honest, has had a handful of rotters this season. Yeah, he did go off. I think it was then. Which, you know, I think you're a weirdo if you're whistling a player like Leao, even if he is in a poor patch of form. But it does say something about that they're not very happy with him, even though he's kind of meant to be like the messiah of that team.
He's going to leave, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that the way things are going, he's going to leave for a lot less than he could have left for, you know, financially previous times. You know, he was one of the players that could have potentially had someone like Chelsea rocked up. You could have been knocking on 100 million for at least Euro.
He goes to Saudi Arabia for a season.
Oh, God, don't say that. That would be really sad, wouldn't it? That would be the saddest one that's happened, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It does feel like there'll be a few, though, that will go there and then use it as not as a sort of stepping stone. And I think leagues like Serie A, you know, financially not struggling, but weaker than others, will want to see that money come in, I think.
Well, it's just going to be, if players do use it as a stepping stone, it's going to be used as a stepping stone to go to Newcastle, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was what seemed like it was going to happen with Ruben Neves in January. Supposedly, that's not now going to happen, but it got much closer than it really should, because that's weird and wrong.
Yeah, I think the Neves one was that he just didn't want to move to Newcastle, which, having been in Edinburgh recently, which is not a million miles away, but bloody cold. I don't blame him. Mm. Even sat here in Liverpool. But I think the issue I've saw knocking about with Newcastle and Chelsea is the financial fair play, because they're now in Europe, and let's say Newcastle haven't yet increase their revenues like Manchester City have to be able to, you know, sign some of these players on the valuations that, you know, the likes of Chelsea would probably be able to pay. So that probably keeps him out of Newcastle's clutches for a little while.
They need to get some sponsors that don't exist, but pay yes, pretty much, £400 yeah. million pound a month.
Mm. Well, they can do if they've got no overheads, because they've got no staff, they've got no headquarters. But,
they made their website yesterday. You know,
that is an issue that will continue to sort of grow at pace, I suspect.
That's the Chelsea special, isn't it? They're particularly good at that.
Mm. Was it Whale Fin was one of the companies that they came up with. It just suddenly popped up on the sleeve and everyone had a look and they were like, well, that's brand new.
I'm glad you said that, because I was trying to think of the company and all I could think was that it was like sea creature related. Yeah. Whale Fin.
So you've got loads of them. That's how they've done it. That's kind of... Well, when those the Spiegel leaks came out a few years ago, that's what it was that they were getting all of this revenue through a certain door of the club, when actually it was coming directly from the ownership, which you can't do. But, you know, that's a different league, isn't it?
It is a different league, and we've spent too long rambling that I think Milan are going to be the victims to that, because we're just going to move swiftly on. Atalanta beat Lecce 1-0. Ademola Lookman scored again. He tends to score goals when Atalanta really need a goal, and it was another nice one from the edge of the box, Vito. The important thing here was the win, because Atalanta, I believe, lost to Lecce recently, and they're very much in that top four race. Now 4 points off Fiorentina in fourth, and two behind Bologna in fifth. Atalanta sit sixth.
Yeah, it's a good win for La Dea, and it was a well-taken goal from Lookman. Scamacca laid off to him, and it was a nice low shot from the Nigerian winger. And I also felt that Atalanta probably should have scored a couple more in that game too. Soon after that goal, Scamacca scoffed a decent chance after Pasalic made a nice run. So they probably could have added a bit more gloss to the win, but 1-0 was enough in this case, and like you pointed out, it keeps them in with a shot of competing for Champions League football. And if not the Champions League, they're definitely in a good position for Europa League football again.
It does feel like absolutely none of the teams in the chase for Europe are in any way consistent, Ewan.
No.
I really like this iteration of Ademola Lookman, because, you know, when people talk about a player finding their level,
yeah,
so it feels exactly like I could imagine him just being at Atalanta for a very long time now, because obviously he had a bit of a weird career where he's moved around quite a lot. He was viewed as quite a big thing in England, and it didn't happen. And I think he went off to Leipzig and stuff, and he rocked up back at Fulham and didn't really do anything. And he missed a really stupid penalty at one point that kind of damaged his reputation more than it should. But
what did he do?
It was like the last minute to equalise, I think it was, against West Ham, and he tried a Panenka and completely fluffed it up. It was like the last kick of the game. It was criminal, to be honest. But then he's gone to Atalanta, and it's not like he's absolutely incredible or anything like that, but he scores very regularly, and he's clearly a deeply, deeply important player to that team. One of the most important players, you'd say now. And he just looks like he's enjoying it. It feels quite nice.
He does. I'm going to be a little bit negative here, because I think Ademola Lookman seems a lot better when you don't watch him every week.
That's partly what I mean, in the sense that he's not. I'm not at all saying that bigger clubs should be looking to get him from Atalanta or anything like that. It just seems that's his level now, and he's doing a solid job of it.
Yeah, take the point. Take the point. His decision making still leaves a lot to be desired, but he's getting goals, and he is quite likable when he's on it. He's very good to watch. But Atalanta are not in the top four because Fiorentina are fourth. Kev, they beat Torino in that weird friendly match. Luca Ranieri scored the game's only goal in the 83rd minute. And this was just one of those games that there wasn't all that much of note to talk about in.
Did you watch this? Is that why it's called a friendly match? Was it that bad?
No, because they've got that friendship, don't they? Fiorentina and Torino.
Oh, okay.
They all just love each other.
Wow. I was sitting there looking at the table and thinking, assuming that I might be enjoying Champions League football again with my club next season, that whether Fiorentina would be quite a nice destination to go to for a sort of a bit of a change. And I think it's good for leagues to have that. So I suppose that's the only positive of a poor sort of display between the two sides, that Fiorentina sort of disrupting what was, looking like staying the same for a couple of years. I think we expected Napoli to fall off the top, but not outside the top four. But yeah, not a lot to say about trips to Fiorentina other than they're very nice. And this just seems like a nothing game.
Look at you, turning on Bologna already. They're at the top four a day. You've already turned on them and you're supporting Fiorentina now.
Well, anybody that gets pumped 3-0 by Udinese, I'm sorry. And actually, I thought I was only on here to talk about Marko Arnautovic. So anybody who lets him go as well, wow, deserves to drop out the Champions League.
Places. There he goes. There he goes. We've seen your real agenda. You never wanted to move to Bologna. You just wanted to move closer to Marco. Pathetic, Kev. Absolutely pathetic. What else is there? Who else is there? There's also Lazio Frosinone. Lazio won 3-1. Lazio scoring three goals really surprised me, Vito.
Surprised me too, because they have been rather lackluster this season. But the goals, you could say, didn't really come from the usual suspects. Usually you would see Felipe Anderson and Ciro Immobile involved in the goals, but Anderson was replaced by Gustav Isaksson in the second half, and he was involved in the first two goals. And then Valentin Castellanos, he started the game, and he was involved in some goals too. So those two developed a nice understanding. And after, Soule had given Frosinone the lead with the penalty, those two helped turn the game around. And then, then Patrick, out of all people, managed to steal the win.
You kind of summed up part of what Lazio's problem this season is there. Could you say the goals didn't come from usual sources, but two of them came from forwards. They came from the players that should be chipping in with goals, especially Castellanos, because he was brought in as kind of Immobile's rotational option. And there has been periods of the season where Immobile's not been able to play and Castellanos hasn't been scoring. So it'd make a massive difference to Lazio if players like Isaksson and Castellanos can actually start scoring regularly. I know that Alistair McKenzie, who writes for us, is a fan of Isaksson. And the times that I've seen him, he's looked like a very, very lively player who's got ideas. And yes, they perhaps ought to use him a bit more.
Yeah, well, great. Alistair has written about Isaksson on the website, so I would encourage anyone to go over and total-italianfootball.com and find the Isaksson piece. It shouldn't be too difficult to find. Go into the Champions League section or the Lazio section, or just type his name in the little search bar and you'll find it. But we should move on, shouldn't we? Because we need to talk about the fact that Bologna got beaten 3-0. I'm personally angered by this, Ewan, because everyone wants Bologna to get into the Europe. Udinese had won once this season. Yes. One win from 17 matches, and they've gone and beat Bologna 3-0. Why? Who permitted them to do this? They can't do that.
Well, I spotted that this was 3-0 with about 20 minutes to go. I thought, well, this is going to be some doing for Udinese to clinch their 12th draw of the season, which is what I still assumed would happen. And to be fair, they didn't. But like genuinely, right, so the end, it was like, surely Bologna are going to come back into this because Udinese simply cannot hold on to a lead. But, you know, maybe this is the launch pad for Udinese to climb up the table and get a Europa Conference League place.
Won't do that. They will go on a run that has them sitting 14th, and they'll be clear enough for relegation that they'll switch off in March.
They'll cash it in at the end of the year.
Yeah, and then they'll stay up, having done absolutely nothing and having offended most of the league for most of the season.
But yes,
I'm sick of them. I'm so
hearing it on. Yes,
they do the same thing every fucking year. Last year was the exception because they were good for 8 weeks, and then they went to shit. But every year they do this. They're useless until they get a little purple patch in the middle of the season that doesn't mean anything. It just upsets other people that everyone likes, like Bologna, and then they stick around for another year and stink the place out again. Kev,
the issue with this, if you're a match traveling fan in Italy, or even a ground topper, is it's not even a nice place or easy place to get to.
No.
So, you know, because sometimes say Bologna did this, and
oh, he's back on Bologna.
No, but say they did this, just knocked around, you know, turgid football, you know, uninspiring football. At least you're going to Bologna, you know, where you can ignore the 90 minutes of football and go and have yourself a nice meal, a nice walk around, you know, particularly if you're going in sort of April, March sort of time. It's not even a nice place to travel to, which I think probably will infuriate more fans, particularly those, you know, of the likes of Salernitana and Napoli, if they're, you know, they're hardcore enough to sort of travel to the ends of the earth to watch Udinese face their side.
I will say in Udinese's defence, will I criticise it first or will I? Yeah, okay. I've heard that the city centre is really nice there, but I've been once and I experienced the worst rain I've ever experienced in my life. And that is said as an Irishman, I've experienced a lot of rain. But, oh God, I hate it. And the thing about Udine is it's 4 hours from anywhere. It doesn't matter where you start in Italy, you will spend at least 4 hours getting there.
I went once in 2012 for a Europa League game, flew into Venice. The train ride is lovely, you know, nice and picturesque. And it was dry. It was bloody cold, probably up there with the top three coldest I've ever been at a football match. But at least sort of it was quite appealing, sort of sitting in some of the bars and sort of having a pizza after the game and things. That was quite nice, but you know, you don't want to do that too often, really. Once every 10 years is probably enough.
I think that's more than enough. Once every 20, and we might be closer to what is ideal. Kev is now coughing up a lung, it seems, and he's turned his camera off. Sorry, that really, the timing of all of that was beautiful. Kev, I hope you're okay. The rest of the games then, you and take your pick.
Take my pick of that lot. Wow.
So just for the listeners, it's Napoli 0, Monza 0, Verona 0, Salernitana 1, Cagliari 0, Empoli 0, or...
I think that's it.
That's it.
I'll take Napoli.
Okay, well, Vito wanted it and you've stolen it off.
It is the obvious choice. Don't worry, you can have Cagliari nil, Empoli nil. I got asked first. Ben Dixon covered this one for us, and I can't swear on this one, can I? But I just got a message from him when he finished.
Gone off on one on Uber, so feel free.
All right, I just got a message that said, Nate, Napoli are absolutely fucked, is what he said. And I'm inclined to agree. I mean, to be honest, when I got that message, I didn't know what the score was, and I thought, oh, they've lost at home to Monza. So when I saw 0-0, I was a bit like, oh, it's not the worst in the world. But I think the sentiment still stands. There is no improvement there, really, under Mazzarri, which, let's be honest, I don't think it makes us retrospective geniuses to say, what a shock. It was an odd appointment. And I think they're going to, I wouldn't, yeah, it wouldn't be at all shocking if they had a third manager by the end of the season.
Do you reckon?
What they really need is Victor Osimhen going off to the African Cup of Nations for like a month.
I don't mean that in the way of like imminent sacking from Matsari or anything like that, but I just think there's little sign that this is going to change over the course of a couple of months, and it wouldn't be surprising if it gets to March and they are maybe 8 points away from the top four or something and need to get somebody else in to try and rally into the top four at the end of the season.
Matteo Pessina missed a penalty and then apologised for missing the penalty on his social media channels, and I don't think I like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it happens. It's a thing that happens. Also, you're at Monza. Like, it's not like the whole world's on your back for that.
Right, in his defence, that is where he's from, so he might feel...
Yeah, like, I mean, that should buy him more sort of credit in the bank, shouldn't it?
I don't know. Silly, silly behaviour, Matteo. Just score it next time. And then you won't have to do that. But, sorry, that is absolutely not helpful in any way.
He just thought of that.
Yeah.
Just it would all be different.
Kev wants to talk about Verona. Vito, I don't know how serious he's being, but I'm going to make him suffer through that. So, Vito, that means you have Cagliari nil, Empoli nil.
Well, another uneventful game, and...
What a week this was.
Why are we even doing
I know. Well, since I've been covering Serie B has been more exciting. You know, the Serie A is meant to be the top division in Italy, and we get served up with crap like this.
Well, this might be a Serie B game next season.
What about Serie B? Forget the rest of it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, sweet. Go for it.
Well, I did the write-up a few days ago, so more than fair. But there were two rounds played in the space of a few days. And, yeah, well, Parma are 6 points clear of Venezia. Venezia have slipped up, and Parma are going nicely. But Palermo, they've really turned on the soul. Last four games they've played, they've managed to get two wins and two draws. The two wins, they've ended 3-2. Including the last round where they bet Cremonese. And then there were two games. They drew 3-3. One was against Parma in Parma, and the other one was against Cesc Fabregas's Como. So there was most of the draw. But there were quite a few other games in the last two or three rounds that just ended 3-2. I mean, we see so many 3-2s in the Cadetti, but in Serie A, you don't get these thrillers, these dramas, these changing leads. You know, I mean... You know, all the haters of Serie A say Serie A is boring, but hey, at least Serie B is exciting.
Second tier football is superior in every country. I'm convinced of it. Heaven, Verona nil, Salernitana one.
Yeah, so bottom of the table clash. Verona lost, so they're getting sucked back down, which I think is where most people of moral fiber would want their fans to
watch them finish the season in the relegation zone, but a silly rule change keep them up
and then have a playoff against Salernitana. I think that's all that I want to say. I can't say I watched any of this.
Thank you,
listeners.
I think this is the result that you want, though, isn't it? The team that are bottom and at risk of being cut adrift getting the win.
Yeah,
you can take that. You want to speak?
Well, I'm not taking that, but I was just going to say that that silly rule that you've alluded to, the longer that Spezia spend almost at the bottom of Serie B, makes that rule look even like there must be some serious rage among individuals at that club and connected to that club, because you know they could very feasibly end up going down again. And at the same time, they probably should be in Serie A right now.
I don't think you need to put probably in that sentence. They were absolutely robbed.
Yeah.
just as a reminder to anybody listening, there was a rule change last season, which meant that the traditional, what is the word here? The tiebreaker, if two teams finish level on points in Serie A, is head-to-head. But they decided there were two positions in the league where they couldn't do that. So that was for between first and second and between 17th and 18th. Spezia would have stayed up on the head-to-head record over Verona. And if they had finished fourth and fifth, the head-to-head would have been enough to get one of them Champions League and one of them not get Champions League. But you can't do it for 17th to 18th, apparently. So it went to a playoff and Spezia were rubbish and lost. Anyway.
So it'd be.
still annoyed about it. I'm still annoyed about that, and I don't even support Spezia. Like, imagine how they must feel. So ridiculous. But Italy's stupid, and Italian football is stupid, but we're going to leave it there. We will be back next week. We've got a full house of things to get through next week. The usual podcast, the women's football podcast. There's the Super Cup, which is on January 7th, which is Sunday. So I'll be out that. It's Roma Juve. It's going to be a good one. We'll have the women's football podcast after that to talk it through. And then we'll have the bonus podcast as well. So full service resumes next week. Ewan, say goodbye.
Bye.
Kevin, say goodbye. Goodbye, Vito, man. Insult Genoa and say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Boo, Genoa. Goodbye, everyone.
Soft. That was very soft for you. Right. Goodbye, everybody. Ewan, end the recording.
Siamo sempre qui, quanto è bello sto colore che ci invade il cuore. Siamo i ragazzi di Salerno, non ti lasceremo mai. Dal paradiso all'inferno, mai sola resterai. Salernitana,
I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.